from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Robb.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hour number three. We are turning and burning. An SOB edition of Primetime here on 1080 The Fan. Souk, Ortner, and Buckley here with you. A thought coming in on the Vancouver Ford text line says, Sword Guy will garner Indiana Jones reactions from me. Just pull out the pistol and shoot him dead in front of you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're using, like, a crossbow, sword, Chinese throwing stars, realize the guy on the other end of that, like, when you pull out your sword, there's a chance that guy's got a gun. No offense, like, I've been studying all my life in the ancient Chinese art of sword fighting. Yeah, that dude bought a Smith & Wesson for like $199 on the on Gun Trader, and that dude's going to blow a hole through you. So just be careful. Stop getting in confrontation. Stop trying to kill one another. It's just, you know, traffic. It's not worth it.
But invoking the Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark, they're talking about the scene where he's going through like the chase through the street markets and whatnot, and a dude pulls out the big sword, brandishes it, and Indy just pulls out the gun and shoots him.
Do you know why that came to be?
That's where I was going with this. It's one of those fun little Hollywood blooper Easter egg type facts. The way I've heard it is Harrison Ford was like really sick that day.
He had diarrhea. He had really, really, because they were shooting it on location, and he had really, really bad diarrhea, and he kept having to run and you know, take care of business.
So he's doing this scene where they're like running through the streets and everything, and this dude across from him, dressed in all black with his huge like, you know, Middle Eastern sword, is like waving it all around, and he has this grimace on his face that looks like he's going to have the squirts again, and he just pulls out the prop gun and shoots him anyways. Director just kept it in. They were supposed to have an elaborate fight scene. He was not up for it that day.
Yeah, he just said, what if I just did like an indie thing and kind of smirked at the guy and just shoot him?
Yeah, and go back and watch that movie and look at his face. He is legitimately sick when he pulls the trigger instead of doing the sword fight.
I love when there's little things like that in movies that, you know, like the Dustin Hoffman, I'm walking here. Again, that's a real New York City cab. And they just kept...
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a real... That guy wasn't supposed to be there. There was a cab that kind of came through the closed set, and Dustin Hoffman stays in character and hits the hood of the car and is like, I'm walking here. And it ends up being, you know, a lot of iconic moments. The all right, Matthew McConaughey, not in the script.
Really?
Nope. McConaughey was, that was his first, even though it's not the first time you see him on camera, that was the first scene he ever shot. That was the first movie he'd ever done.
Wow.
And that was the first scene. And McConaughey is like, you know, he's got a thing. They tell him, hey, they're kind of ad-libbing. And they tell him, hey, you're just going to approach these people. You know, what are you, you know, like you roll up in the car. Mm-hmm. And McConaughey said in his head, he was thinking, what is this guy all about? And he said, he's about drugs, chicks, and rock and roll. And he said that was in his mind. Mm-hmm. And he thought to all three of those things, all right. And he said,
he's got to keep living, man.
He said, in that moment when he pulled up and they yelled action, that was what popped through his mind was, all right, all right, all right.
I love that.
And that's where it came from. And the director just loved it. And they cut it. And, you know, they were like, all right, this is Wooderson.
Another important question from the Vancouver 4 text line. What's scarier in the hands of an attacker, a sword, a crossbow, or a flamethrower?
Dude, flamethrower.
I think so, too.
You kidding me?
But then go sword, crossbow. What's scarier?
Again, crossbow. You can
projectile.
Although,
yeah.
Projectile, though, the crossbow, you only got one shot. So as long as that guy misses you, then you got nothing. The
can
sword,
you not reload those fast? Do they not
I don't
reload
think
easy?
So. Okay. I think you shoot once and then you're fine.
And you got to like wind it up again or something?
Yeah, I think I'm going, if I have to face it, I think I'm going, I think I'm taking the crossbow. I'm running the risk that dude isn't going to kill me with one
dodge
shot.
Dodge one and that's enough and all the time you need?
If some dude's got a sword and I got bubkis, what the hell am I going to do? Yeah, I think you got to take the crossbow. I think the flamethrower is right out. I've seen the 14 fists of McCluskey. I know what happens when you get a flamethrower. That's your ass, Mr. Postman.
Did your boy Alonzo just go yard?
That's right. The polar bear. 1-1.
Anytime home run bet plus 400. Let's go! It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics. Hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
It's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Start with a little bit of Olympic news, but this may be even bigger than the match they played today. Novak Djokovic and Rafael Nadal faced off at Roland Garros on the clay today. Going into that match, Nadal had the head-to-head edge 30-29. Djokovic evens that today with a win in straight sets, and it's likely the last time either of them play each other, so it'll probably end their rivalry dead even.
Yeah. If you're a fan of tennis, how cool is it that you got this era of tennis where you went from Roger Federer maybe being the greatest of all time to Nadal maybe being the greatest of all time? And really, there isn't much of an argument anymore. What you're seeing with Joker is the greatest of all time. I mean, for all the romanticism about the 70s and 80s, that's the greatest run of tennis we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's the other thing, too, is Nadal's not done yet. He's actually going to pair up with one of the best in the world, Carlos Alvarez or Alcaraz. They're playing together in the doubles. Number four, some NFL notes. A couple things going on in the league today. Danico Autry suspended for 6 games for PED use. He's a D lineman for the Texans. The 49ers activate Ricky Pearsall, their first-round draft pick, off of the PUP list. Also got a new contract out in Detroit for Taylor Decker. But everyone's in camp, and we're getting football this week.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the only ones that we know, what, CeeDee Lamb's still holding out, yep. Right? Which is just, I don't know, if you're Dallas, what the hell are you doing? Like, do you think CeeDee Lamb's not, is going to come back and play without
a
new
discount
deal?
Discount or something? Yeah.
So we got, like, what, CeeDee Lamb is not in camp, and I think we got Reddick that's still holding out.
Hassan Reddick.
Other than that, I think not only is everyone in camp from a team standpoint, but I think at this point, most of the players, we don't have many holdouts anymore. And then, like you said, Hall of Fame game this weekend. Let's go. Although, it doesn't sound like Caleb Williams is going to play.
That's why we get Secret Bajan Man, baby. There Let's go. Wonder if he can burpee broad jump his way into the end zone.
That dude burpee broad jumped a mile for one of his workouts this offseason.
And it took him an hour and 7 minutes.
Good Lord.
He'd be dead. Let's talk a little Olympics, specifically Olympic basketball. The Dream Team, or the USA men's team, got their first real test against Serbia. There were some questions because of the close games they were playing in exhibition against teams like South Sudan, Germany, Australia. But they rolled the Serbs that had probably their toughest competition in their group. They win by 26 points. They play 10 different guys, and LeBron looks like the best on the floor. Meanwhile, the women's team, they're going for their 8th straight gold medal, and they absolutely rolled.
I think they won 56 straight Olympic Games?
It's something
US women?
Absurd like that.
Well, like, every now and then, like, you get a team that's just so far ahead of the competition. And that was us, like, in 92 in Barcelona, and the world has caught up. The rest of the world will catch up. But, dude, our women's basketball team is so much better than anyone else.
Number two.
By the way, Sabrina, I think she went for 11-5 number today in her, that was her Olympic debut, I think I saw.
Nice. Yeah, she, I believe it is her Olympic debut, and I didn't see her her line score, but.
I saw it come across Twitter, and it was cool to see her in the Olympic uniform. Yeah, I think she went 11-5, although it didn't really matter. I mean, they beat Japan by whatever it was, 20-plus.
Little baseball news and scoreboard watching. The Mariners are in action right now, coming off a sweep of the White Sox, and things were going okay until they got to Boston. They are down 7-0.
I think the White Sox have lost like 14 in a row.
14 in a row. That is accurate.
I mean, good grief.
And Boston has been hot. They've been catching up with the New York Yankees, and so they're putting it on them right now, 7-0. And in a bit of a surprise, Logan Gilbert getting shelled today. He gave up 7 earned in 2 2/3. He's been really good for them. Not so much today.
Still tied, by the way, the Mariners and the Astros. And the Astros just underway. They got the Pirates, and I think Skeens is pitching today.
It is Paul Skeens Day in the MLB.
And that's just underway. I think it's top of the first.
Number one.
And number one, the trade deadline fast approaching in Major League Baseball. We've already talked about how the Mariners have been big players. They've acquired Randy Arozarena. They got Yimi Garcia for some bullpen help. They've also now acquired Justin Turner, professional hitter. But there's a bunch of teams that have been making deals. We saw Zach Eflin move over to the Orioles. It sounds like Blake Snell may still be available as the top player on the market, as the Giants appear to be sellers. There's some talk that the Yankees could be in on him.
The Mets got Jesse Winker. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I meant to bring that up. I knew how much you wanted that.
I just conveniently you forget that Mariner great, the Winker, Jesse Winker, now playing in Queens.
The guy who once ordered a pizza from the clubhouse in Anaheim from Murphy's, right?
Yeah. But Justin Turner, like, I know Justin Turner is 39 years old, but he's hitting 250 this year. That guy's a professional bat. And considering what you had in Seattle, dude, Justin Turner, you can do a lot better, or you can do a lot worse than having Justin Turner in your lineup.
Pretty clutch guy.
At least the Mariners are trying something. I know it's not Vlad, which, you know, some people were hoping for, but.
And there's, I mean, trade deadline is tomorrow. So there is still some hope. I've seen some rumblings out there that the Mariners do have pieces that the Jays want, and that might be the only trade partner left for the Jays and Vlad. It seems like in the 11th hour, probably unlikely at this point, but not out of the question.
You go get Vlad Guerrero and you throw him in the middle of that lineup, and look, you got to be happy with what they've done, but going to get Vlad and actually having to give up, you know, 3 or 4 of your best prospects to go out and get him and you know maybe an arm, that would signal something to the city of Seattle that you're pushing your chips in the middle and you're going all in.
By the way, former Mariner Ty France has a new home. He's a Cincinnati Red after they outrighted him on waivers and they completed a trade to bring back a minor league catcher. The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you every day by Victorico's Mexican Food, home of the best burrito in Oregon. You can always visit them online at victorico's.com. Coming up, an Olympic roundup. More on Team USA, some volleyball, archery, gymnastics, badminton, table tennis. We've got it all coming up on Primetime 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Oh, nothing. Souk just stuck in here hearing about tales of potty training in here with me. Still going on in the Buckley house. It's going well, though.
Well, it throws me for a loop because, like, I started so young. My kids are old. So I'm like, how old are you?
I'm 39.
You're 39. So not, you know, we're, what, 6 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a daughter that's 27.
Right. And I have a son who's 3.
And my youngest is 19. So it's like, it's weird. Like, you'll bring up like potty training stuff and I have to like scroll back in my memory. And I don't know if it makes me a terrible parent. I just don't remember a lot of those. Like, I kind of remember like what that was all about, but I don't remember the details. Like, I don't remember my kids' first steps or like, it's all faded from my memory. It all just kind of blends together a little bit. And
could
I'm like,
CTE.
It's possible. That, and I always tell parents, like, cause again, a lot of my friends have younger kids or I'm around a lot of young parents and I'm like, dude, wait until you've raised 2 or 3 kids and you're 15 to 20 years removed from that and tell me how sharp your memory is. It's easy to remember potty training when you're going through it like a year ago.
And I don't expect you to remember, but I'm like, dude, did you go through this? And you're like, maybe, I don't know, probably.
It's my answer. Like, the older I get, I'm open to the idea that everything I remember is wrong and that everything I remember is right. Like, it's all shades of gray. Like, did you have an easy time, hard time potty training? I'm like, I think it was easy.
We made it. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. I made it to this. Eventually they stopped going in their pants and everything was fine. Like, you work it out. Eventually you'll come out the other side and you'll be fine.
Let's get back to a little Olympic basketball here. I did watch most of that Team USA game against Serbia. I was not concerned that they wouldn't be able to have it all come together, but they looked a little rusty and rough around the edges in some of their exhibitions, but they go out.
You're squeaking by South Sudan. And
they were trailing by 13 to South Sudan.
And then what, Germany, I think, gave them fits?
Yeah, they lost. They won by 4 to Germany in a game that was close the whole way.
That's just no good.
But they go and play the best player in the world in Nikola Jokic, and Serbia actually jumped out to a 10-2 lead on those guys, and then LeBron still, like, you can say whatever you want about what he might do or not do in the offseason. That guy still, at the age of 40, has the ability to turn it on anytime
he
wants.
And KD too.
KD too.
I think in the first half,
he'd been out with an ankle. And yeah, those guys.
They combined like 19 of 19, something stupid.
KD went 8 of 8 and had 21 points in the first half.
Yeah. And LeBron was perfect too. I don't remember how many field goals they had together, but they were perfect from the field. And it does say something that your best player is old ass LeBron James. Like, I will always be a Jordan guy. Again, I just in their primes, I just think Michael was a better player. But there is no doubt that what we're seeing out of LeBron at his age, you can't deny. If you think for 1 second, look at Jordan when he was in his late 30s. He was kind of fat and, you know, when he came back with the Wizards.
Yeah.
And he wasn't 40 when he came back. I think that was like when he was in his late 30s. What LeBron James is doing, with the exception of Barry Bonds, who and maybe Tom.
Also had some help.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people think LeBron's got some help too. Can
I
he has good
camp.
Trainers. What are you talking about? Sully the game.
Why is that such a weird... Like, why is that such a weird off-limits topic for people? You really think LeBron James, at his age, in doing this for the amount of time and the minutes, is because he...
100% naturally?
Everyone at 40 has a six-pack. What are you talking about? Dude. You just got to work hard, eat your chicken, take your
vitamins. I turned
40
in February. I'm looking forward to that six-pack.
I listened to Hulk Hogan. He'll be fine.
Whatever LeBron's doing, it works. So it's Tom Brady, LeBron James, and Barry Bonds. The longevity is stupid. So that's the one thing I'll say over, like, that Michael did not have on LeBron, is the longevity thing is just it's silly. At his age, to be the best player on the best team in the world at the Olympics, and that picture that he had, like the after dunk thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
just it's
what? That's just, if you're, and LeBron's like reposting that, and he should. He's gonna have like a giant oil painting made of that, and he should. That's like whether you love him or not. It was like the Trump like flag earshot photo. Whether you love him or hate him, I'm sorry, dude. That picture is like incredible.
It's badass.
It was the same thing with that LeBron James. I saw that photo and was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Like if you're a LeBron Still James it. Fan, it moved. It wiggled a little bit after that.
So additionally, though, I would say the biggest storyline that came out of that game was not that LeBron still got it or that they shook off the rust and they rolled Serbia, but the Steve Kerr rotation. Because
he didn't play Jason if you recall,
Kawhi Leonard was replaced on this team by Derek White.
Yeah.
Already on this team was Celtics sidekick Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
As well as Celtics star Jason Tatum. Two guys did not get off the bench in this win, 40 minutes, 26 points win over Serbia. Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton, who, as someone pointed out, probably the two best players in the Eastern Conference Finals this year. And whether or not that's because the other stars weren't on teams good enough to get there, it's a little bit wild to think that Jason Tatum can't get a series or a set or 4 minutes on the floor in a blowout victory. There are conspiracy theorists out there. There are people saying that Steve Kerr is trying to mess with the Celtics mojo and what they have going on. I'm not buying into any of that, but I was a little surprised. Kerr's even gone as far as to say, like, I expect Jason will be in going to play more in the next game. It's just kind of how this one went. But Kerr claimed, I can't play more than 10 guys in 40 minutes, which I don't totally understand. And even if that was the case, I was surprised Jason Tatum was not one of those 10.
Yeah, so, I mean, the guy for the last 3 years has been first team all NBA.
Yeah.
And he just won an NBA championship.
Nearly won finals MVP, finished second finals MVP.
And Drew Holiday played 24 minutes. And the one that's weird is, and I get they play different positions, but Derek White played.
He just showed up.
Derek White played 16 minutes.
Yeah.
I wasn't watching the whole thing. I was kind of flipping around, and I was like, oh, you know, and it looked like they were, when I first saw it, I woke up and I saw on Twitter that Kevin Durant was like killing it. Mm-hmm. So I flipped over to it, and then, you know, in the second half, they were comfortable, and I didn't watch any of it. So I didn't find out about it until I saw a Steve Kerr thing saying that Steve Kerr said he was dumb for not playing Jason Tatum. And I was like, they didn't play Jason Tatum? And I was like, oh, well, they probably didn't play a bunch of guys. No, they just didn't play Halliburton and Jason Tatum. And I was like, yeah. Derek White? And then I thought to myself, well, Derek White probably played like 3 minutes. Derek White played 16 minutes. I don't know. It's just it's an odd thing. But I heard an interview with Kerr where he said he told Tatum
that was going to be the case
before
maybe.
The game that because of matchups and because of rotations, which is still weird. I know that, again, it's different positions, but like what rotation don't you have room for the first team all NBA 3 years in a row?
Kerr is weird about this, and Warriors fans know this too well. As they got past the big core of Curry, Thompson, Durant, and Draymond, and had to start bringing some youth in, he has not figured out how to get those guys on the floor together at the right time. I don't know if it's that he doesn't like pairing certain guys together or he wants them all to have certain complementary skills, but it's been something that's been frustrating and a headache for Warriors fans recently as they've seen some roster turnover. And it's a little bit surprising to me that with this collection of talent, you can't like make it work for 4 minutes in garbage time.
Could it also have been like Kevin Durant was so unreal and LeBron was so unreal?
Possible.
That with those two performing the way that they did in the same spot as Tatum, he's like, you know what? I'm just not going to take them out. I want them on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I mean, Durant didn't play in the exhibitions leading up to this because he was dealing with an ankle.
I mean, but Durant only played 17 minutes, and you know, and they're 40 minute games, so they are
they're
trimmed
shorter.
Down. They're shorter games. Look, I do find that a little weird that like. The U.S. is going for gold again. They didn't look good in the lead up to this, and they blow out. I mean, blew them out, 84-110. That supposedly their toughest competition, and yet we're nitpicking about like the story is whether Jason Tatum played or not. I mean, if I'm Steve Kerr, there's a little bit of like, do you see the score? Like it's
yeah, and also you know. I don't want to be the guy that's like stumping for everybody should get a turn. Like yeah. this is the Olympics. It's not the participation trophy.
It's just odd
fest.
That a guy who's first team all NBA
yeah.
doesn't get in. But it's the same, like it's like someone in the UFC goes and bludgeons a guy for like five rounds, beats the living hell out of him, and then people are upset at the way he did it. You're like, dude, I just whooped that guy's ass. Yeah, but we wanted to I don't know, you won 110-84. And I get, you know, give credit to Jason Tatum. I haven't heard him say a peep about it because, you know, there are some guys that would not handle this well. There are absolutely some guys that would melt down.
Yeah.
Over being, and
they'd sound off, they'd talk to the media, yes. They'd cause some dissension within the team before they even get out of the group stage. Yeah, there's guys that wouldn't
and
wear
guys
this well.
That aren't for three-time first-team All-NBA mm-hmm. players and just won an NBA title. Look, this makes me like, and I'm not a big Celtics guy. Outside of the Celtics of the balls, I don't really care for Boston. I find their fans to be atrocious. It's like being
the Celtics of the balls.
But this makes me like Jason Tatum so much better that you have not heard squat from Jason Tatum, because he has every right, and I mean every right, to be like, are you effing kidding me? You're playing Derek White? You're playing Derek White?
The guy who was the replacement for the guy who got bumped.
I'm first team All-NBA, and I just won an NBA championship. He has every right to do that, and he's not. He's not saying anything. He's treating himself like he's Derek White or like he's Halliburton, and tip of my cap, this... You know, kudos to you, Jason Tatum.
Well, that's always been his MO, but I do think that the guy who's going to have to sit down next, because Joel Embiid was horrific.
He was the only player
on the court.
People joked that Jason Tatum had a better plus minus than Embiid, because Embiid right. was so bad that in a 26 point win, he had a negative plus minus.
And I think that you're going to see Joel Embiid get played less and less, especially as you go up against these teams. Like, he just doesn't play the same style that the rest of these Olympians play. Like, they want to run up and down the court on Team USA. He is a guy who will mouth off, because he's yep. already mouthed off yep. about how old the team is yeah. and how it should be guys like him and Ant Edwards taking over, because they're the quote unquote young guys. They're the future. And I really do think that you might run into a spot where they can't even get Joel on the court.
We did have one other storyline coming out of Team USA. We will get to that coming up next. Could a Team USA player take a single point off of the U.S. ping pong team? And additionally, how France lost $1.5 billion in one crap storm. But first, Will with the SportsCenter. Welcome back to Primetime. Coming up in the club tonight, a new road rage move I haven't seen before, but kind of want to try.
No, you don't.
Nah, I know I don't, but it looked cool, and sometimes I get mad back there. we discussed that a little, road rage a little bit last week, and man, I saw something today. I was like, even though that guy's a jerk, that was awesome.
I just think about getting shot. Anytime I get mad in traffic...
Yeah.
I think of all the videos out there of just people just getting shot over someone cutting them off. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Or just put like a bunch of gun stickers on your car. Cause I think that solves a lot of road rage too. If someone cuts you off and you see like there's like a Glock sticker on there, Smith and Wesson, Oregonian, bunch of AR-15 stuff, you're like, you know what? I'm just gonna go ahead and back off that one right now. I don't need to be in this confrontation right now.
And I'm enough of a dumbass that I do the thing where like I won't just, you know, flip the bird to anybody or holler at anybody, but I'll take a look at who's behind the wheel first and I'll make a decision as if that could possibly eliminate them from having a gun or not. Like, I literally judge the book by its cover, and I go, F you.
It's actually more alarming if it is some weird looking skinny dude. You're like, why is that guy so confident? Yeah. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Colt made all men equal. God made man. Sam Colt made them all equal.
So that's in the club, as well as if there's any flight in this country that gets grounded or diverted, we have to talk about it. Another biohazard. And this time we have some audio. But first we need to get back into Team USA basketball. Kind of. The claim from Anthony Edwards. Well, we'll play the audio for you, but Anthony Edwards, the star of, or a star on the men's basketball team, was catching some table tennis earlier in the tournament. Early in the Olympics. I had not seen this video. Dude was hyped at the ping pong
games. He was watching the women's, and I don't remember who was playing. One of them was an Asian gal, and I don't know who she was playing against, but there's a viral clip going around where, dude, they're just like, the Olympic table tennis is crazy.
It's insane.
I don't know how they...
Most Olympic racket sports, actually. Badminton, too, is kind of wild.
I'm just like, you're like, oh my gosh, it's Forrest Gump style. And Edwards is in the fifth row, standing up, going freaking nuts over women's ping pong.
Yeah, so that then led us to the opening ceremonies, where all of Team USA was sharing one of those boats floating down the Seine River. Yeah. And the U.S. table tennis team also on that boat.
Yeah.
And so Steph Curry tried to poke the bear a little bit and get Anthony Edwards to toot his own horn, so to speak.
Yeah. And what, ping pong? I got some people talking about they're going to beat me in ping pong 21-0. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm not having it. I'm not having it. 11-0. I'm scoring 1 point.
No way.
1 point. I'm scoring.
I mean, there's only one way to try it out.
What? Okay. How? When are we going to do that? Whenever.
And yes, that match he was watching was one of the gals, the Asian gal was for Team USA.
Yeah.
And then she was playing, looks like someone from, I don't know, I can't recognize the flag.
Was it the Lebanon lady?
It's tough. It's so small in the corner, I can't really make
flags!
It out. But yeah, the video of Anthony Edwards like going down the boat, he is there with the women's
and he's
looking,
he's like
team.
Sizing him up.
Yeah, he's like, looking at him. He's like, let's go.
I got to win 1 point? Yeah, I could do that. And so this gets into our how confident professional and world-class athletes are at their ability to do anything. And even brings us full circle to one Will Ortner thinking that he could take a punch from Mike Tyson just because.
That
on take
looks better and better every
no,
single day.
No, it does not.
Yes, it does. He keeps going to the hospital every 6 months.
There is no greater bravado than that of the like 20 something American male. And I'm not sure which is greater. The bravado of a world-class athlete like Anthony Edwards or just the average 25-year-old moron. I'm not sure which one.
26.
Yeah, 26. Because at least Anthony Edwards is a world-class athlete, and yet the idea that you could do anything against one of these gals in ping pong. But at the same time, it's always the 24-year-old guy's like, dude, I'll just go into a rage. It's like, yeah, you don't even want to know. Like, well, I'll go into a different world and I'll be fine. Yeah, I may lose, but I'll fight whoever. Yeah, you don't know. You haven't seen me. I'm not sure which one is a bigger moron, but I want the highlight of my Olympics will be if one of those gals from the U.S. team actually plays Anthony Edwards in a game of ping pong.
Because it will be 11-0 or it'll be 21-0.
I would watch that more than anything else. If you told me, Simone Biles or I'm really into Olympic rugby right now. If you told me I could only watch one thing for the rest of the Olympics, I would watch one of these gals. And by the way, they're all Asian. They're all these tiny little Asian gals for Team USA. I would watch any one of those take on Anthony Edwards over anything else. And it would be amazing to watch his pride just crumble.
Do you think
as he goes to his knees?
Any chance he could get 1 point?
No.
No, I would agree with you.
I don't think he would return a serve, to be honest with you.
I think you're probably
right. Not. But I also have a theory on this one, and I think some others on X do as well. I think that this is all a bit to get some numbers.
I wouldn't be surprised at that either, but I also think that Anthony Edwards is confident enough it could be both. I think, I think we got a little, I'll call him A, a little column
he
B.
He did
there.
Say he could hit an MLB baseball, and they're like, when's the last time you played baseball? And he's like, third grade.
Yeah, that's what
that's exactly, what we're talking about.
Exactly. That's that guy. So I'm not sure, like, Will Darkin's thinking that he could fight a hippo. We've got Will Ortner thinking that he could fight Mike Tyson.
That is not what I said. Don't twist. Do not twist. I could take a punch.
God,
I could take a punch. You're trying to twist. This is my Sukanian logic.
This is my favorite part about this argument right here. Much like Anthony Edwards, has not swung a bat since the third grade. Will, have you ever been punched in the face?
Every person who's tried has missed because I've dodged
them. So the answer to that question is no.
I've been kneed in the face.
That sort of logic. Yeah, I've never been hit before, but I'm pretty sure I could take a punch from Mike Tyson. That's the sort of bravado that I absolutely love. And I wish we'd have more, and I know you can't do it, but remember they used to have that show, Pros versus Joe?
Yeah, great show.
But that was like old, washed-up guys. Like, it would be hilarious to watch dumbasses, like actually get to compete. It's why I said the Olympics should always have one average dude in there doing it so that you get to see how good these people really are.
I love that idea. Additionally, it's time for the poop-filled Willametta to step aside because the poop-filled Sen has taken its place.
Yes.
One thing you won't be seeing this Olympics is the triathlon in the Sen.
It gone.
Because after France spent $1.5 billion, billion with a B, to clean up that river so that they could have athletes swim in it for the games, There was so much rain on the morning or on the evening of the opening ceremonies that fecal matter and other sewage flowed into the river anyways, essentially burning the $1.5 million spent.
Not million.
Billion. To make it like E. coli free.
And this is why the Olympics to me is a bit much. How much money did they spend on these games? I mean, I think it was like Russia spent 30 something billion and it all just got stolen anyways.
Sure.
And funneled into, you know, different people's pockets. But you got like poor countries like Greece and Brazil that spend tens of billions of dollars and it's all for 2 weeks. And then as soon as everyone leaves, like all those things that you build just become decrepit. It's just you spent $1.5 billion of the people's money to clean something up. And now it's all for naught. Remember when Japan was doing the games, they were going into the Fukushima where the power plant was. And they spent several billions of dollars trying to
eliminate radiation.
Eliminate radiation, which by the way, doesn't work.
Can't really do,
but they were like, well, we want the Olympics. They were going to try to house athletes there. They're like, yeah, we're just going to bring in new dirt. So they same thing. They spent billions of dollars bringing in new dirt and all this stuff. And then like the wind just blew the trees and like all the radioactive matter just blew onto all the new dirt. Can we just, as cool as the Olympics are, can we stop stealing billions of dollars from people that could actually use it so that we can put on 2 weeks worth of games? Which, by the way, sometimes you can't even do because there's poop in the river anyways.
Yeah. $9.5 billion is the total bill on these Paris Olympics so far. It's estimated that cost will reach $10.8 billion by the end of the games.
And $1.5 billion of that was spent to clean up a poop-filled river
that they can't use anyways.
Which, by the way, the best part I've seen in the Olympics so far is that metal performance in the opening ceremony. Dude, that thing was
dude,
fire.
Dude, hard metal at like whatever palace that was.
Dude, wherever they were filming that thing, I don't know. That was like some old ass, like giant castle thing. And they had some French metal band up there and the headless, they had the Marie Antoinette headless singing. And all those metal dudes were perched up. Dude, that thing and all the fire, that was badass. I know everyone's like losing their ass over like the, that they had something that looked like the Last Supper, but it wasn't the Last Supper.
Oh,
it was
there's a whole lot of pearl clutching going on about those opening ceremonies.
It wasn't
freaking
even
cares. It's an exhibition. What do you care? It's not the games.
Well, it wasn't even the Last Supper. They said it was like some sort of like Greek fest.
Did you see the dude hanging brain though?
Yeah. But it looked like the Last Supper. So now all the Christians are like freaking out about it. And like, God,
well, and they're all worried about like, you know, that maybe the Olympics is trying to like impart some critical race theory or pro-gender. I don't know.
All I know is that metal performance to open the Olympics at that castle. Dude, that thing was awesome. That was the best thing I've seen so far in the Olympics.
The other thing we've got in this Olympics, ambassadors. I saw some that I'd forgotten about in the water polo arena today, but also Snoop Dogg has become quite the figure. Dude, we'll talk racket sports.
Captain of the Olympics.
Yeah, and ambassadors. We got some audio. Snoop Dogg and badminton. That's coming up next.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Talking about the claims of 1080 The Fan staff, Will Darkins, Joe Fisher, and Will Ortner among them.
And yes, to give Will credit, he was demanding it during the break, and I will say publicly, of the three ludicrous statements made by 1080 The Fan personalities.
And his is still ludicrous. Don't pat yourself on the back too hard.
Will Darkins saying that he could fight a hippo, Joe Fisher claiming he could run a 5'2", and Will taking a punch from Mike Tyson. Yes, the least absurd of those three things is the Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But that's like being king of the dip S's. But yes, it is.
Someone has to rule the flies.
Well, the one that I always had that's more tongue-in-cheek, but I've always joked that like I would not die in a fire. Like, and I always say, like, if my house caught on fire, I'm finding a way to get out. But yes, then people are like, well, if it happens when you're sleeping and smoke inhalation. I'm like, yes, I know. It's kind of tongue in cheek. I've just always been like, if
I'd find a way.
I just like, it's a two-story house. Worst comes to worst, I just jump out a window and like,
break something, whatever.
I'll deal with the repercussions of jumping from a two-story. But yes, and because then you always get that one guy that's like, well, my dad died in a fire. And I'm like, okay, dude, I get it.
Everybody settle down.
If you get caught in the smoke and you don't know and you pass out, yes, I can die. I can die in a fire. But that was always my hardline stance of I ain't going out in a fire. In my house, I'm getting out. I may get burned. I may break a leg, but I'm getting out of my house. It's not taking me down.
I need to come up with my claim like that because I don't know that I have one, but I feel like I should.
Most people have one at some point. Like, it's the classic, oh, if you gave me 10 shots, I'm making a shot in an NBA game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, could I get a ball out of the infield if I got 100 straight at-bats against Clayton Kershaw?
Everyone always has the... Again, like I said, it's the ego confidence of the American male that you think that because you watch someone do it and you're like, oh, you know, I could do that. I could get lucky. You know, I get 100 swings against, you know, Paul Skeens. What are the I've got to hit one.
I could foul one of them off. No, you,
no, you can't. No,
you could not.
No, you could not. You know, like, oh, I could get in there. No.
Although, you know what was funny? You remember the much maligned Trevor Bauer? Remember him?
Yeah.
He's been trying to get back into Major League Baseball forever. He had the whole awful thing with maybe it was sexual abuse, maybe it wasn't. There were graphic text messages sent all around. Yeah. He was trying to revamp his career, I think, in the South American League or Mexican League.
He's in Mexico.
But at one point in time, he hooked up with the guys at Barstool Sports in their batting cage, and some yutz at Barstool was like, I could probably hit off you, and I'm like, oh, no way. He was touching him up, not because this guy was great at baseball, it's because Trevor Bauer's washed now. And Bauer thought he was going to go and, like, blow away this total schmo.
Really?
Did not.
Well, he also, so that guy, though, he played college baseball.
Did he really? Oh. He doesn't look like it.
It wasn't a good college baseball. Like that he played. It was like a D3 JUCO type deal, but he did play college baseball, to be fair to him.
Well, I saw a thing we were talking earlier about, like, movie things that made it into films, like the Indiana Jones, the sword fight, and he takes it out and shoots him, and that was like improv'd. I was watching a thing once on Denzel Washington, and have you seen He Got Game, or is that before you?
I'm aware of Jesus Shuttlesworth.
You should watch that movie. That should be one of the next ones on the Will Watches. That's like, a good movie.
I've caught parts of it on BET.
Yeah, there's a great part that you should watch. It's the best part of that whole movie.
The recruiting trip.
Something be talking to you, Jesus.
Hey.
It's been YouTubed.
But there's a scene towards the end where Denzel Washington and Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth and his dad in the movie, play each other one-on-one. And the whole point is if Denzel Washington beats him, that Jesus Shuttlesworth will go to where Denzel Washington needs him to go so he can get out of prison, right? That's the whole thing. And in the script, Shuttlesworth is supposed to beat him like 11-0, whatever they're playing to. I don't remember what they're
probably
playing.
Probably 11.
Yeah. 11 or 10 or whatever they're playing to. And that's in the script. But Spike Lee, so that was in the script, but Spike Lee was like, just play. Assuming that Ray Allen would beat, that was peak Ray Allen.
Yeah.
That Ray Allen would beat Denzel Washington 11-0. And Denzel scored. Like, and they said it was funny. So all the bravado of Denzel strutting around at the beginning, that was real. That was not in the script.
He was peacocking because he got a bucket on Ray Allen.
Yeah,
real life Ray Allen.
He got a bucket or two on Ray Allen. And that whole, and then Ray Allen is like, he's like, okay, we have like, oh, you think you're good. And then Ray
Watch
Allen
this.
Just, yeah, starts just kicking his ass. All of that was an actual real thing. And
I saw
an interview with Denzel. He goes, for a brief moment, he's like, Denzel had that. He goes, that was real. He goes, I felt 10 feet tall. And then he goes, there was something in Ray's eyes that just turned. And he goes, we just kept running. Like, we never cut. And even when Denzel gets knocked on his ass and Ray Allen's making him, he said, all of that was real. And he said, there was just a switch that got flipped in Ray Allen where Denzel was like, I know. Like, this is where the rubber meets the road. So even if you are having one of those moments against like a superior athlete, you realize that all you're going to do is piss that person off. And it's like, okay, here comes the switch. And now I'm about to get my ass kicked.
Well, two things on that note. One, I heard about a year and a half ago, maybe this blew me away, that Denzel Washington was actually born Denzel. And they realized later that Denzel sounded better, so he just started going by Denzel,
that
even though he was supposed to be Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington?
Yeah. Yeah. And then
that doesn't have the same ring to it.
Additionally, you mentioned Spike Lee. He's now one of these new ambassadors. I did not realize this, or maybe he's just a fan, but he's in Paris for these games, and you and I were watching water polo earlier today, which now that they have the underwater cameras, and you watch these men and women like fight like they're in the UFC underneath, it's pretty crazy. But we had talked a couple weeks ago about how Flava Flav was going to be an ambassador for water polo.
Boy.
Yeah, boy. Well, I look up in this Spain-US water polo match, and I had kind of forgotten that, and I see Spike Lee and Flava Flav just losing their mind over the women's water polo, and I'm like, Man, we really have gotten somewhere with these ambassadors. I don't know if this is all just a ratings drive or whatever, well, and Flavor, like you said, Flav's, the money grab. But
Flavor Flav's putting his own money into it. Like, I guess those gals have won like two or three straight Olympic gold medals, and yet none of them can actually make a living off of this.
Of course.
So they all work multiple jobs, and you know, so like Flavor Flav is supporting, like he is paying for the U.S. Women's Olympic Polo Team. And so maybe that, I don't know, maybe Spike Lee's involved in it. Like, I think it'd be kind of cool if I had a bunch of money, if I was a multimillionaire, I could see myself getting behind some
to support like a lower end or less I don't know, less supported sport.
Yeah, like women's, like I'm in love right now with the women's rugby.
Yeah.
I'm all about the I love rugby. It's a great sport. I wish it was more popular in the country. I don't know what the women's rugby funding situation is.
Not good.
But if I was like George Clooney,
and yeah, if you could be benevolent, yeah,
if I could be, I would 100%. I would pay. I would. I don't know what, like, those gals, like, if you gave each one of them $100,000, right, and like we're like, hey, this is your job now, I would 100% pay for the female rugby in our country. I think that'd be kind of kick ass.
Yeah,
saying water polo, and then you become like the you know, you become the Phil Knight of U.S. female rugby. Let's go.
It'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that there's been a lot we've seen from Snoop Dogg, from everything from carrying the torch to adding his thoughts on gymnastics.
Snoop Dogg, who at one point was on a murder trial and was considered the most dangerous rapper in the game, is now carrying the Olympic torch and hanging out with Martha Stewart.
Well, and he was asked to do a little badminton highlight with Mike Tirico. Yeah. Before we get to the club, I want you to hear what that sounds like.
Oh, I love this badminton right here. This is a great rally right here between China and the U.S. right here. As you see, it don't stop till the casket drop. They rocking and rolling back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. Nope, over here. Nope, over there. What about over there? Nope, what about there? Nope, give me that. I need that. That too. Nope, sit down somewhere. Get out. Wait a minute. Hold it. Way up in the sky. Now down. Back up. Over there. Now over here. Get out the way. Move. I told you we need that. That was a good point.
It's like a 26-shot rally or something like that, and he just goes.
I say what you will about Snoop. Snoop commenting, whether it's on Olympic sports.
We've heard him do hockey.
We've done hockey, or when he does the animal videos.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
That guy is, he's the best. he is an absolute sellout of the highest order, and I don't care. Snoop Dogg doing play-by-play on anything is fan-freaking-tastic. And I recently saw two that's... Someone, I forget who it was. This was like a couple weeks back. You know, Snoop, you know, we now have the Me Too movement and, you know, the whole, you know, woke thing or whatever you want to call it. And people have had to apologize for past, you know, indiscretions. And
you mean like the million times he's referred to women as bitches?
Yeah. And someone asked Snoop Dogg in an interview if he regretted some of the lyrics that he like, and he cut him off like right at the goes, he basically shut it down. He started talking about, no, he loves all his hoes. He started talking. He just like he knew exactly where that question was going. It was like, nope, not at all. And he just doubled down on everything. And I was like, freaking yes. Just in everyone, and nowadays it just cowers over, you know, that threat of whatever, you know, the mob coming after you. I love that Snoop Dogg's like, yeah, no. He's like, I love my hoes, always have, always will, I regret nothing. And you're like, bless America.
Well, coming up in the club, I mentioned the road rage move I kind of want to try. Additionally, we had a plane get grounded for more biohazard issues, and we've got audio this time, and maybe a hot route.
Omaha!
As we've got a good question in from the Vancouver Ford text line on what would make the dad or man's Olympics, we'll get to all that coming up in the club on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.